The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Zane Cantrell is in studio with us, and he's been here before. You probably remember he talks about the bees. And tell us a little bit about what you do.
I'm a beekeeper here in Rutherford County, and I try to keep up with all of the things that are going on with beekeeping. And I just listened to your last program, and I'll assure you, my bees are out there singing with the best of them.
So what is it like beekeeping in Rutherford County? Are there a lot of bees here, or are we having problems?
Yeah, we've got, you know, we have problems from time to time, but the beekeepers like myself, the small beekeepers, are pretty well holding on their own. You get into the large beekeeping, the commercial beekeeping, then you get into more and more problems that they have trying to keep up with 1,000, 2,000 or 3,000 hives at a time and keep them healthy and working all right. And I might also mention that the Tennessee Beekeepers Association's conference will be coming up here at MTSU Student Union Building, which will be Friday, October the 10th, and Saturday, October the 12th. And we'll have beekeepers from all over the state of Tennessee that will be showing up. And I might mention, too, a lot of people give me a call and say, "Hey, Zane, what can I do to get into beekeeping? What is my best approach to do that?" And this is an opportunity that folks should not pass up. We've got all kinds of programs that are designed out at MTSU, and here it is local, and here's the opportunity. You got free parking just across from the Student Union Building for those who are registered to go in, and they have all kinds of classes that we'll be looking forward to, listening to those people that are really experts in the beekeeping. So, and I don't look at myself as being that. I learn things every year by going out there, and it's a wonderful experience for anyone that is new, that just wants to get into it, wants to learn a little bit about beekeeping and how to sustain the health of their bees.
If I'm not mistaken, I was reading over some of the guest speakers. Some of them are going to talk about the billion-dollar industry of beekeeping, of pollination, and it's wild once you start reading into how much money is generated each year.
Well, remember, we go hand-in-hand with agriculture, not only in this state, but nationwide. If we lost all of the honeybees that are pollinating our crops at this time, we estimate that every third bite of food that you take is generated by the pollination from honeybees. The almonds in California, you might add, about 80 to 90% of all of the almonds that are sold commercially worldwide come from California, and only honeybees can pollinate those trees. So they ask at least over 1 million hives to be out there to pollinate them. And then after that, and that usually occurs in what we call the winter time, but it's not winter in California, and they move those bees across the United States all the way back to the east side, from the west to the east, pollinating crops. And that's part of the problem that we run into. And we're losing bees by moving them a lot. They get stressed, and they also get different kinds of diseases, which kills the bees. And we lose a lot that way, especially the commercial bees. And that's what I'm talking about. Now, those of us, I keep my bees in one place. I don't move them around. So I don't have the problem of stressing them out. And viruses getting into them, so we last a little longer than most commercial.
So nationwide, you know, there was a time period where we heard stories about the number of bees going down. And I know you mentioned something about that too. Are we truly seeing those numbers of bees going down?
Yes, we are. And I would like to say no. The commercial beekeeping industry is being really hit hard. And those are the people that move their bees to the agriculture area. Now, remember, through agriculture, that's billions of dollars in the United States. In the state of Tennessee, it's around $700 million that's accounted for in agriculture. The agriculture department of the state of Tennessee has estimated the value of one hive of bees now is $750.
Wow.
One hive. That's the value of them. So you can imagine with all of the thousands of beehives in the state of Tennessee, you are talking about a big hit in the economy if we were to lose those bees. And that's we're working hard to keep our bees going and to keep them healthy and pollinating our crops.
And, of course, we're talking everything from flowers that you buy at, let's say, at Home Depot in their garden center, all the way from that to certain fruits and vegetables, right?
That is correct. Now, you know, it's not just fruits and vegetables, but it's also your flowers that you have. You know, you can plant all of these flowers in a garden, and if they're not properly pollinated, you're not going to have a good stand in your garden. And gardeners realize that. And I've been to many of those programs speaking to them about their gardens and how to make them honeybees would want to come to it. And it takes colorful types of flowers, not just one type, but colorful types in your garden to attract our honeybees. But not only will it attract our honeybees, but also many other pollinators will come to it. But I might also mention this. Nothing pollinates like a honeybee. There are a lot of different pollinators out there, but nothing pollinates your crops, your gardens, and your flowers like honeybees, and you want to do everything that you can to attract honeybees to those little gardens. And the master gardeners really realize that. And I try to get that message across to anyone who is interested in it.
And you were saying the colorful plants, those really do attract the bees a whole lot more?
Yes. And there's a history about that, might ask. Back in the old days, and we're talking about millions of years ago, scientists got interested in how the moths became butterflies. Now, there's a history behind that, folks, and this is not from me. This is from scientists that study it. They look back about a million years ago, and they wondered how these moths turned into butterflies. Moths are mostly at night. Butterflies are daytime. What they found is that there were colorful flowers that started blooming about 1.5 to 2 million years ago, and that attracted the moths to coming in daytime, and they evolved into butterflies. And that's why we have those butterflies now.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, what are some of the other things that you're seeing that may be different or out of character of honeybees that you haven't seen before, or maybe stories you've heard?
Well, I might just to follow up on what you said there. Right now, you see a lot of ragweed and goldenrod. And this is a season that people are going to start sniffing and coughing and carrying on. And the reason they do that, folks, is those are really something that's going to affect you. Goldenrod and ragweed. And honeybees are all over those blooms. The ragweed is a white bloom. I was running out in the battlefield one day last week, and I noticed right up in the next to the trees in the battlefield, there were plenty of ragweeds that are blooming. Out in the field, you see goldenrod. So those people who have allergies, honey will help that. Now, you need to, and I might caution, and any allergist will tell you that, you need to find out what's causing your allergies. But if it's from the things like plants out there, then you can imagine what's going to happen when these things are blooming, when especially goldenrod at this time of the year. And you get a lot of that pollen in your honey. You don't see it, but it's there, and that will help you with your allergies. And I recommend to people that this is kind of scientific. It's not just coming from me, but about a teaspoon a day. Put it in your coffee, in your tea, or take it just out of the teaspoon, and that will help. It won't make your allergies go away, but it'll make them where you can at least live with it.
So have you seen this work in individuals?
Yes, I have.
You've seen it firsthand.
I've had a lot of people to tell me when they get my honey, and it does. It has a lot of the goldenrod in it, and it's got a lot of ragweed in it, and it does help them. But you can't wait till it starts happening. You've got to take that just like you would a vitamin, about a teaspoon a day. Now, if you're diabetic, you need to talk to your doctor about whether you should be taking honey. Honey does have a certain kind of sugar in it. It's not like granulated sugar. But if you're diabetic, I always caution people, always talk to your doctor before you start anything for the first time.
Now, again, the big event coming up in October, that's going to be on the MTSU campus, right?
Yes, it is. October the 10th and the 11th. That's on Friday and Saturday. And there are all kinds of different classes, from beginner classes, which will help you. And I think Keith Elrod, the president of the Rutherford Beekeepers Association, he usually teaches a beginner's class, and he has 30, 40 students that sign up for that. So it's a good time for those who are first-time beekeepers to get into it. Now, if you've been beekeeping for some time, there are other classes that you can take. You can just sign up for the Tennessee Beekeepers Association program, and then you can decide which one of these classes that you want to go to. But I learn something every year. And also, they have a number of vendors that are there for the first time. This would be an opportunity to you to talk to some of the vendors and get some of your supplies. And you can get it usually at a lower cost if you go to the conference where they have it. They're selling it at the lowest possible cost. And most beekeepers who's been keeping bees for a long time, supplies and equipment have really gone up, just like our food costs have gone up.
So let's say you're maybe a high school biology teacher just interested in learning more about bees so you can explain it to your class better. Is that somebody who could also attend?
Yes, it is. Anybody can attend. There is a small registration fee. You can go online, Tennessee Beekeepers Association. It's really simple. All you have to do is go online to Tennessee Beekeepers Association, and then it'll show you how to register from there. So it's really simple, and you should register ahead of time so we'll know how many people to expect. Now, remember, these are beekeepers coming from all over the state of Tennessee, and we want to reserve a spot for you. It's a great opportunity for people in Murfreesboro, Rutherford County. We used to have to drive to Cookeville or to East Tennessee to go to these conferences. For the past two or three years now, we've had this conference here in Murfreesboro, which is a great opportunity for all beekeepers, those who have been beekeeping for a long time, or those who are just starting, who are just wanting to start. We have classes for everybody. And those who are really thinking expanding, I used to keep 30, 35 bees, and I've cut back to about 10 hives now. And that's all I really need, and I'm probably going to cut it back even more than that. It's in the hot time, August of the summer, when you're pulling honey and extracting it, and it's a hard process to do. So I've cut back a lot, and you'll see that some beekeepers are really wanting to expand because there is a big market out there for good local honey, and you want to get local honey. And be careful, because some people list it as local honey. It's from Cannon County, other counties they list. You want Rutherford County honey, and I'll tell you why on that. Because of the trees and flowers and things that they pull from are local, and that's what will help you, especially in allergies. Now, if you just want it for the taste, it's best to get it within 10 or 15 miles of where you live, regardless of whether you have allergies or not. You want that good taste, and for some reason, the local Rutherford County taste is unique. And folks, just remember that. If you want good honey, make sure it's here in Rutherford County and a Rutherford County beekeepers, because you know that it is nothing but honey in it, nothing mixed with it, and it's pulled at the right time where it's capped and there's no loose caps in there. So be sure and try to get it from Rutherford County.
Interesting. And I'm wondering, how are other neighboring states doing when it comes to honey and honeybees?
Well, we talked to other states, and they're really looking very carefully at how the honey in those states are being pulled and how they're being processed. And that's important for every state. We don't want people selling honey in the state of Tennessee or anywhere else that's mixed with corn syrup and other things. Now, regardless of what you might think, they do that for an extended shelf life. Like regular honey will crystallize much quicker than honey that's like mixed with other syrups. And one of the major type is corn syrup. So, but it doesn't hurt your honey to crystallize. All you need to do is warm it up and all the crystals go away. But I have people telling me they like the crystals to go into their honey their crystal honey to go into their coffee or into their tea. So it doesn't matter with them if it does crystallize, but it doesn't ruin. Remember, good honey that's properly processed will never, never ruin. Wow. So don't throw it away because it gets a few crystals in it.
So what does crystals taste like?
They taste just like honey.
Huh.
Because that's what they are.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I have not heard that before.
Yeah. And I've heard people say, well, my honey crystallized down in the bottom of it, so I threw it out. Oh, no, you didn't do that. You don't have to do that. You know, honey is one of the products that we can get that bacteria cannot grow on it. So, and I also tell people, well, if your young grandchild sticks his finger in it just a taste of it, don't worry about it, because germs can't grow on honey.
I didn't know that. Why? Yeah. Why is that?
That it's just resists any kind of infection. As a matter of fact, years ago, before they had antibiotics, people had a little cut or something on them. Those who lived out in the rural areas, they put a little honey on those cuts.
Wow.
And that kept it from getting infection. Just remember, just over 100 years ago, if you got an infection from a cut or something, boy, you were in danger of really getting sick or losing your life.
Yeah.
Before we got antibiotics, and we really didn't have good antibiotics until World War II.
How did somebody figure out honey to put
yes.
on it? How would you do that? I mean, how would you think of that idea?
I think people in old looked for ways back in the day. They looked for ways for cures. And one of them they found out was honey that would do that. And there have been scientific studies. And also, we're still doing that a little bit. There's certain types of honey that's being used for on bandages for people who have diabetes, sores, or cuts that won't heal. They use those bandages that has honey on them, which it helps to speed up the cure of those cuts or infections that they have. We're doing that now.
I wouldn't want to be a guinea pig for that. So somebody years ago tried it, I guess, and
yes.
it first worked.
Yeah. They didn't have anything else. But people back in the rural areas, they're very smart. We don't think about that. But they looked for natural cures that they had. That was their only opportunity.
Oh,
and
cool.
Remember, the doctors 200 or 300 years ago didn't know a whole lot either. They did the best they could with the knowledge they had.
So honey was one of those tools they used.
Yes, it was.
That's fascinating.
And it is still being used today.
Is in what type setting is that being used today?
In diabetic problems or with cuts or infections that don't seem to want to heal. It's a process that they go through to put that in bandages, to put on those places where they need quick healing that they don't have now. And that's one of the things. And, it's kind of a shame that people years ago, when they got sick, especially in their throat, they could use honey to help that cure. But George Washington died of that, and they never used that to try to help heal his throat, and that's what killed him. So if they had been using what they knew about in the rural areas, it might have saved his life. We don't know that, but we can speculate about it.
That's interesting.
Yes.
It really is.
It sure is.
You always have these interesting facts and figures that most people don't have. Kind of fill in the blanks for a lot of people. But again, the big event is coming up in October, and that's going to be at MTSU. Get tickets in advance.
Yes.
And if you don't get tickets in advance, can you still just show up and pay at the door?
Yes, you can just show up. We don't turn anybody away. But it would be really nice if you would just go online and register for October the 10th, 10th and 11th. And this is on a Friday and Saturday. If you can't go both days, try to get there at least one day. And those of us who want to stay for 2 days, remember, there are nice restaurants right there in the Student Union building, and they will be open. You don't have to go away somewhere to find a lunch. They have good lunches there. So we're very grateful for MTSU, Dr. McPhee, and his staff for hosting us at MTSU during that time. They are very, very cooperative, and they helped, and they seem to want to have of all of us here. But I might also say it is a positive to our community to have this many beekeepers coming from all over the state of Tennessee for this conference.
Have you seen those beekeeping boxes on Veterans Parkway just sitting off to the field?
Yes, those belong to Tom Hartley. And he has 8 or 10 hives, and those that you see out there on the Medical Center Park or out on the Veterans Parkway, wow, those belong to Tom Hartley. Well, I know most of the beekeepers in this state or in this county, and a lot of them in the state of Tennessee, and they all are very conscientious about their beekeeping.
Are they trying to one-up each other at times? You know, I'm going to get more than you this year.
Yes, they are.
As we close this morning, is there anything important you'd like to leave with the listeners?
Well, just a couple of things. Just remind everyone that this is a really allergy time for most people, not at least 90% of the people, because of goldenrod and ragweed. And if you want to learn more about this, you could talk to many of the master beekeepers. They know quite a bit about it. And also, just a reminder, everybody, don't forget, if you're interested in beekeeping, this is a great opportunity for you to come to the Tennessee Beekeepers Association conference at MTSU Student Union Building. And we'll look forward to everybody being there that wants to be. And I thank WGNS and you folks for allowing us to come on to bring our message to everyone.